When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Panthers Pathway as we prepare for Pitt against Virginia Tech this upcoming week. Another primetime game for the Panthers, who are currently reeling at 1-3. I'm Austin Bechtold. Pleased to be joined alongside Nick Faribault of Steelers Now, also from the Locked On Pitt podcast. Nick, it's a little bit different of a circumstance and situation from when we first talked at the very beginning of the year. How you doing? It's not looking too good for Pitt right now.
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Of course, as always. It is not looking good for Pitt right now. 1-3 now, 0-1 in the ACC. I will say, I think schedule gets a little easier. Not really a super big dip, though, throughout the rest of the schedule. So, I don't know. The ACC looks pretty solid this year, relatively speaking, all around. A lot more top 25 depth there. And Pitt has kind of sunk. And I know we'll get into it, but I don't really think Pitt is a team like super devoid of talent either. I think it's largely been tied to pretty simple issues you can look at.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can point to, but mainly it's the quarterback position that once again sunk the team against North Carolina. Not so much because Phil Dracovic played bad, but because Phil Dracovic was injured. And he was playing, I would say, relatively well up until the point that he had to come out of the game. And Pat Narduzzi has said this week, yeah, I know who's going to start the Virginia Tech game. Would you like to share? Narduzzi said, nah. Pretty much saying I'm good. He doesn't want to share it, doesn't want to give it away. Will it be Christian Vayer or will it be Phil Dracovic? I would be surprised. You know, other than just benching Dracovic, an injury that keeps him out is one of the only things that I thought would keep him on the sideline for a huge portion of time, a huge chunk of the season. I am not convinced, though, that that will be the case and that Narduzzi will make the change.
I'm not convinced either, mainly because he did take that step forward against UNC. But despite UNC being a really good team, a lot of it is tied to their offense. Of course, they have a lot of weapons there, and Drake May is obviously going to be a top five draft pick. Yeah. And that's really what tied it to them. Their defense is very suspect, has been really ever since Mack Brown came through. And so I think the fact that they at least looked good against a team like that is encouraging. I think they needed because, listen, like Cincinnati's defense has proven to be a pretty legit group. Dylan Gabriel and Oklahoma even struggled against them. I think WVU's defense is better than it was anticipated. Like, I do think they faced two pretty solid defenses there. But they had to look better against a worse defense, in my opinion, UNC. And they did. But Dracovic looked the best he has all year, even better than he did against Wofford. Just looked more in command. I think the biggest difference was his accuracy. I just thought the balls that he threw were generally accurate. Didn't miss a ton of guys. I thought there were still some concerning things. I still thought he ran into pressure a little bit too much. But that's kind of what it is with Phil Dracovic. That's kind of who he is. But he played well. I don't think there's any denying that he played well before he went out. I mean, you look at kind of the breakdown of how he played when he went out. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was 11 of 15 and really looked solid. I don't think there was many either like super negative plays outside of that one bad sack he took that I thought was really on him, but it was a really good game from him until he went out. And obviously now you kind of put that up in the air, and all I could think of in that respect is you might have a similar situation last year where you remember Keaton Slovis was playing very well against Tennessee and then came back and didn't really look right. Right. Because you look at those injury histories with Phil Dracovic and Keaton Slovis, both two guys that were very talented, came in with long injury histories. So if you were starting quarterback for Pitt in the past years and you were the offensive coordinator for Pitt and Frank Sinet, you kind of had to in my opinion, plan for an injury at some point. And Djokovic getting hurt, of course, in the midst of his best game is suboptimal. And so I think even if he is ready to play, you kind of have to play him just to see what it is. I know you have the past evidence to prove that he might not be the guy, but he played his best game and his best half as a Pitt Panther. It looked like 2020 Phil Djokovic.
Yeah, I don't think you can count that Wofford game really as much of anything. FCS team, you're just going out there and playing a cupcake just to get the season going. And he threw for 109 yards. He protected the football, something that Christian Vayer did not do, throwing two interceptions, more so because Pitt was just trying to come back and he was doing too much as a young guy looking to try to prove himself a little bit. But I still believe Rodney Hammond has got to be, you know, featured maybe a little bit more. I mean, I'm not trying to say that the running back room that they have isn't, you know, solid enough where they can't go with multiple different guys. But, I mean, Hammond had 14 carries. I'm a little surprised Sebo Flemister only had one rush. Kenny Johnson ended up with three rushes. Like, Daniel Carter had one rush. That was a little surprising to me, too. They did feature Hammond as the main guy for the majority of the game. Is it more so, do you think, that the game was pretty much out of their hands, that Carter only got a rush, but more so that Hammond ended up with 18, which is still a pretty big number?
Yeah, I think it's largely due to the fact that UNC started to pull away. And when Drake May starts to get going, you have to meet them in a track meet, right? Early on, Pitt was very balanced, and they were able to drive down the football field. And Hammond was really cooking. But those first to second half splits are pretty noticeable. I thought the O-line looked awesome, especially on that first drive, man. They just were kicking UNC's behinds up front. And that was with the group that we know was, like, very depleted, right? I mean, no Matt Gonsalves, no Jake Cradle. It was a very, very, very kind of hodgepodge type of group. I thought they played. I thought there were some pretty encouraging things actually on tape from the offensive line against UNC. I think that's a good thing to kind of see moving forward, because you know Gonsalves now for the year.
Yep.
And who knows what Jake Cradle and everything like that. But I feel like there were some really encouraging things up front from Pitt in this game. And I think Hammond is easily their best running back, but he's also now, it looked like he got dinged up a little bit as well. So we'll see what happens there. But he's clearly, in my opinion, the best running back. Hits the hole with decisiveness, has the best vision, best contact balance out of all of these guys. So I'm just not sure that Rodney is, like, built to be a super workhorse guy. Just a smaller dude overall. I think 15 carries is about right there. And I think he's really, really proven he can do that at a high level. I mean, very efficient runner. And certainly a guy that can be a difference maker. I just think Pitt needs to be in games with balance in order for him to really flourish, because as we learned, Pat Narduzzi was saying he got dinged up in camp early. And then moreover, they needed a passing game to back defenses off, right? They had a great first drive against West Virginia, and then they just started packing the box. The offensive line didn't really play that well, and part of that was because the box just kept getting packed and packed and packed, and so there were free runners everywhere. And so Hammond's a guy that's going to be the main guy here. I think you'll see more Sebo and Carter at some point, but I think it's going to be pretty clear here moving forward. Sebo's going to, you know, take a back seat. Carr's going to take more of a back seat, and Hammond's probably going to rise to the top a little more.
Talking to Nick Faribault, Locked On Pitt here on Panthers Pathway, part of the Pitt Talk Sports Network and the Fan First Sports Network. That first drive that Pitt had was a little eye-opening. It's surprising to see against the North Carolina team, ranked 17th in the country, the success that they were able to have. And I think the Narduzzi defense did okay containing Drake May, but when the guy is rolling out throwing one-handed touchdowns, left-handed touchdowns, I should say, into the end zone to receivers that have sprung their way open. I mean, man, you just got to tip your cap as well to that guy, because he's going to be probably the second quarterback taken off the board after Caleb Williams. Many would think so. But coming up against Virginia Tech, you're not going to face a guy like that. You're not going to face anybody like that against Louisville, Wake Forest, that you could try to build on some of the things that you took away from North Carolina, still though, you're 1-3. You don't have a good taste in your mouth, but it wasn't as deflating and defeated as the West Virginia game by far, or even I'd argue the Cincinnati game either.
It completely depends upon what the offense can do in terms of maintaining this consistency.
And who's healthy?
The defense is always going to struggle against top quarterback talent. Like, I think this is a proven thing. It's a schematic issue, right? You're playing quarters, cover zero. A guy like Drake May is going to dice it up. It's just going to happen. Very rarely do we see games where top quarterbacks do not splice up this defense. It's just a scheme thing. When you go from Drake May, Trevor Lawrence did it. Deshaun Watson did it. Yep. I can just name Sam Howell did it. All these guys kind of did it over time. And it was just, it's a thing, right? And so you 41 getting hung on you by Drake May is like not that surprising by any means. I think this defense is a solid defense still. It's not as talented or experienced as, say, last year's defense with, you know, Kalijah Kansi, but they have enough young talent there to really kind of be something, right? And I think they've proven enough to where this defense can be trusted as a solid group. That young defensive line starting to round into itself, I think. I think you look at the linebacker spots, you know, that was without Bengali Kamara last week. And it felt like you got some solid play from some other guys there. Shane Simon had a nice game. And the corners are the most experienced group. I like Javon McIntyre a lot at safety. I think he's going to be a good player for this team in the future. It's really starting to round into form. I like what Donovan McMillan has shown in flashes. So there's talent there. I just think, what are you going to get offensively? Are you going to get that Phil Dracovich? Can Veyer, if he is the guy that you decide to go with the rest of the year, can he grow from that performance? I have concerns about what I saw from Christian Veyer. I also have positives. He's a young quarterback in college. So you got to have kind of expectations for a guy like that. No, he threw two picks. He's kind of a one-speed thrower, I felt like. A lot of bullets. Want to see more touch. But I did think he showed some good ball placement. I think he's got a decent arm. He can really scramble a little bit. Solid processing. I just think he's a little bit kind of tensed right now. But I look at Virginia Tech and like, listen, it's there's a decent group there, but it's not anything where you're like, Pitt can't win this game. They should be able to win this game because if I look at these two teams on paper, I think Pitt's the better team.
Yeah, I think so as well. On the road, it's a tough environment to play in on a night game, 8 p.m. Putting Pitt in primetime again, I mean, is that really a great thing to do right now? Virginia Tech's not that good either.
No. I think the ACC probably came into it thinking Pitt was going to be better. Two past top 25 finishes, but a lot of the ACC championship talent's gone now. Right?
Well, this time slot was announced like a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. I mean,
not like this was 2 months ago.
It's kind of weird. I don't know. I think you could expect Pitt. I'll say this with Pitt under Pat Narduzzi. What you have seen with them has been a story of resilience before. They have been in situations where they have started out really bad in seasons and they've kind of clawed back, right? 2020, they started out terribly. Kenny Pickett got hurt, and then they came back on a win streak to finish the season strong. They have done this rodeo before where they have kind of – even last year, right, they were 500 at one point, and they went five right straight to end. I think there's a possibility this team kind of is – I think they are better than the record, first of all. I just think if they figure out the quarterback position, get any type of consistency from there, they have wins that you mentioned, right? Virginia Tech, Boston College, like yep. They're Wake Forest, like there are wins on the schedule.
Louisville.
Louisville can be a win. Like there are wins on the schedule for them if they can figure something out. Now they have other tough games like Notre Dame and Florida State, and those are tough games. But
Duke.
I mean, it's gonna be tough, but like it's not a team that is devoid of talent. There are talented players on that football team, and I just feel like the offense. Specifically three people, you know, I think the offense coordinator, the quarterback position, and the offensive line, three big things have kind of held this team back. I think there's enough skill position talent there to make some very nice plays with. I like Kadai Mumfield. I like Gavin Bartholomew. I like Rodney Hammond. It's just I don't think that this team has gotten enough from arguably three of the most important positions, whether it's coaching or on the field.
Well, Nick, they don't have an offensive identity. Yeah. They don't. And what is it right now?
It's nothing, right? I think they want it to be a running football team, but you really can't do that when you can't pass the football. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? Very, very, very concerning because you look at their ability to run the football against some of these teams early, and then they just can't pass it. But I thought when you saw that they were able to start passing the ball a little bit, when you saw Bartholomew get some chunk plays, Mumfield get some chunk plays, I just think that's when this offense starts to work. When you really can start to get some balance, take some of the weight off of your quarterback, and then when it's time for that passing game to open up, hit big chunk plays. That's what this offense is supposed to be, but they haven't been able to do it because the passing game has been non-existent, and as a result, teams key in on the run, and that's been non-existent. They're not a good enough offensive line to bully people when you know the run's coming, and so they need something to kind of back those teams off. It's kind of it's separate wisdom, right? It's different. This is you always talk about the run to set up the pass, whether that's for play action or whatever that may be. Now, you need the pass in this offense to set up the run because right now the pass has not given you much, but you saw the glimpses of it in the first half against North Carolina where the pass was working, what this offense could be.
At quarterback, looks like Kyron Drones will be the man under center leading the way. Teams averaging about 21.5 points per game. Pitt's at 24 points per game. So we're not expecting a shootout of any sorts, right? I mean, from this Virginia Tech team, probably their identity more so than anything is going to be looking to get that balance attack, but they're only averaging 100 yards per game rushing. How about this? If you want to see Rodney Hammond feast, Virginia Tech is giving up over 200 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah, I think that is the easy way to win this game. Just trying to run the football a ton. Now, I'll say this. You need a little bit of a passing offense. As I keep saying, even though this is a bad run defense, something has to give in the passing game. You have to at least have them respect it, right? Because, again, I think the offensive line showed some good signs. I thought Terrence Moore at center played a really good game. I thought that was very encouraging to see from a young center. I liked what Jason Collier did a little bit. Zubovich, I thought, had a nice bounce back game, especially in pass pro. I thought Zubovich played quite well. But I look at this team and I say there has to be something to back off those linebackers. Play action. You know, you got to get Bartholomew involved. I think that there is a lot riding on this game for Pitt. If they can't win this game, like, what are they going to win? Yeah. Maybe Boston College, right? Like, this is one of your winnable games. You have to win, in my opinion. Because right now, you talked about those three other games, Notre Dame, Florida State, Duke. Okay, say you lose all three of those games. You're 6-6 at best, right, after losing these first three real games outside of Wofford. So you have to win a game like this. This is a winnable game. And you look at what Virginia Tech specifically struggles at, and it's the run game. They don't give up much passing offense at all.
No,
I think they're first in the ACC in passing yards allowed, less than 200 per game. And why is that? Is that because their secondary is that good, or is it because their run defense is that porous? I think it's a little bit of both. Marshall dominated them up front. If Marshall can dominate them up front, Pitt should be able to dominate them up front. And so heavy dose of Rodney Hammond to me, you see in this game. I think you're going to see rotation here. I think this is where Sebo Flemister and Daniel Carter come in. If Jerkovich plays, I think you have to get the quarterback run involved. I think you got to see some of those zones, read actions. I think you have to, because this team is not proven to be able to stop anyone in that area. Their red zone defense is terrible. They have legitimately not stopped one red zone opportunity this year from scoring a touchdown.
No,
not one. So when Pitt gets in the red zone, and we've seen this in the past so far this year, where Pitt can get down to the red zone and they don't cash in, like against West Virginia, for example, we talked about that long first drive, did not cash in for six instead of three. They need to do that in this game. This is a bad offense, too, in the red zone. So it goes both ways. The rushing defense and offense is not very good, and most of their rushing offense comes from Kyren Drones, who kind of creates his own thing out of structure. And so Pitt has a very, very easy path to winning this game. It's going to be, can they do it? I think that's going to be the tough thing, because if they do it and they control the time of possession, they should be able to win this game. There's little doubt in my mind of how you win this game.
The Hokies are
play action going, you back them off a little bit, and you run the football into oblivion.
The Hokies are 30% on third down. The opposition against them, 44%. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Compared to how they're overall schematically not being able to get their offense going. Only 17 third down conversions on 56 total attempts. Their defense has caused three interceptions. Overall, an okay offensive approach, but the defense has been the one that's been really stifling, which if Christian Vayer is the quarterback, you want to make sure that the number one goal for him is just protect the football. Don't give it away, especially with how the secondary is playing and they're not giving up many yards at all passing the football. Just literally set up whatever you can do so that they respect it, but also that they don't expect it. Two words that sound very similar.
Yeah, I think you look at Vayer's kind of passing charts and really wanted to push the ball down the field a little bit. He is a guy that tried to make some throws against UNC, and I understand why. It was, you know, at some point the game was kind of out of there. But when you look at his stats, 2 of 7 for 2 interceptions on passes that went 10 yards or more, game manage. Just game manage things this week. You know, maybe if you hit Gavin Bartholomew down the seam and you see that guy running open, feel free. But I think what they need to do is kind of simplify things in the passing game. Let their guys, who they know can win in man coverage, Kadane Mumfield, I think, has to be a big part of this game plan in the pass game. He's been really good this year. Mumfield has really kind of rounded into form, looks like a legitimate wide receiver one for this group. I think they need him to make some plays against man coverage, because the Hokies really do play a lot of man coverage and they walk up a lot on you. So I think that's going to be something, but Vayer needs to keep it simple, because those passes over 10 yards proved to be pretty complicated for him. And I really thought under pressure specifically was also something where he just did not look that great. Whenever guys got in his face, that felt like something of where he kind of panicked almost. And I thought he dropped his eyes, dropped his head, and kind of just threw it up at times. And so I think those are two things. I think the two keys here are let Vayer game manage a little bit. He doesn't need to make those deep throws. And second off, you got to protect him, because under pressure, he threw both of those picks.
This just does not seem like, for Virginia Tech, a good football team. They lost last week to Marshall, 24-17. They lost to Rutgers, 35-16. And they lost to Purdue, 24-17. Nick, they're out here getting crushed by the Big Ten, which is not, you know, something to be really that upset about. But those are not some of the top-tier teams in the Big Ten. And overall for this team, that some of the guys that at least I'm looking at, Lawson, 41 total tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, also has an interception to his name. Tisdale as well with 10 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. Those are some of the big defensive guys that I'm looking out for. But they've lost some very winnable games this year that I think if Pitt played those teams, the Panthers potentially 2-2, 3-1.
Yeah, I think it's possible, right? I will say this. There are some players to worry about on this team to me. Defensively, especially, I really like Antoine Powell-Ryland. I think he's a good football player for them. One of their edge rushers. They've had good edge rushers even when they've been bad. That's just something that they kind of breed down there in Blacksburg. So I think they got to make sure they protect Ryland. Whoever is starting at tackle, you know, whether that's Taylor and Bear again or whoever it might be, they need to make sure that those guys lock up him. Because as I said before, right, keeping the pocket clean is going to be so huge, I think, if Vayer especially starts. Even if Phil Jurkovic starts, you kind of like your guy back there to simplify things and let him go, because he was at his best, to be quite honest with you, when he was under pressure last week. And I didn't feel like in that first half when they started getting going, North Carolina created that much pressure on him. I think you talked about Lawson a little bit. Very versatile player, really solid in terms of what he can do. I think he's pretty exploitable in coverage. I wouldn't hate to see some of the running backs out of the backfield this week try to get those guys involved, because I think you can use his aggressiveness against him. But there are a lot of good players on this D-line that I do think make it a tougher matchup for Pitt. Alan Tisdale, he's been around forever. So they have some guys that have been around for a while that can definitely create some issues defensively. But, I mean, you look at offense, it's just there's not much there. You know, Kyren Drones has been fine. He's a solid creator. I like Kyren Drones in that respect. But, you know, Ollie Jennings, for example, a guy that came from Old Dominion, really good football player. But you look at what he brought to the table in those games before, because he only has played two games. So he has not been there for the whole season. He's a guy I think that can really give these guys trouble, because you talk about a 6'2" jump ball guy. Well, Drones is going to throw up a few of those jump balls to him. So expect that, and Ollie Drones to be a guy that can maybe make some noise, but will he play? Has not played since the Purdue game. So I think that's going to be something to watch out for, if he can play. But the talent for Pitt's better. I mean, like the thing that you look at is there's a very easy identifiable path for Pitt to win, right? Run the football, take care of the football, stay disciplined in the run game, and just kind of play your game. For Virginia Tech, you're going to need some things. Turnovers, pressure, and those things, and those are definitely doable for Virginia Tech, but it's going to come through largely defensive production to put Pitt's defense on bad fields, because I think if Pitt's defense gets put on good fields to where they can – make sure they control the field position game, I think Pitt's defense is going to be pretty able to stop Virginia Tech's attack on the ground and through the air. It's just not a very daunting offense when you look at it compared to Pitt's defense, who, to be quite honest with you, has more talent across the board than the Virginia Tech offense.
In the second half, Pitt has been outscored in the third quarter 30-17, but has outscored opponents 21-7 in the fourth quarter. But guess how many interceptions the Pitt defense has all year, Nick? One.
That's right. They did have one against Wofford, huh?
One total interception for this entire defense. Thanks, Marquez Williams. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. One interception. I think, as an impactful guy that I think needs to make some plays, MJ Devonshire will have an interception this week, because the Panthers just need to force turnovers.
Listen, man, they need to force turnovers, period. I mean, this group has not forced a lot of turnovers. Listen, I thought they played pretty good game. I thought they played a great game against West Virginia. Really got set up badly by those interceptions. Even against Cincinnati, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought their run defense was a little suspect in that one. But I think they fixed that for the most part. I just think that this defense, when you're a struggling offense, right, you need help from that defense. I'll use the Steelers as a perfect example of that. Bad offense right now, but the defense has created turnovers to help them out. It's the same thing for another team. If you want your offense to get going, sometimes turnovers by the defense to get their confidence boosted can help. And they have not done that in what is the strength of this team, in my opinion, in the secondary. Even up front, I mean, Deion Hayes, man, has played quite well this year, and they just have not been able – to do anything at all in terms of creating forced fumbles, doing things like that. It has been a real slog for Pitt to get going in terms of those turnover departments, and that's been the big negative to me for this team. They even got special team splash. I mean, it's just the defense has not given them a ton in terms of production, so they need to. And listen, I also want to see more consistent pressure from the team kind of across the board, because you look at their pressure stats right now, and easily number one, it's not even close, it's Deion Hayes. 16 pressures. Next closest guy is Shane Simon at 9. Then you have DeAndre Jules, Nate Temple, Devin Danielson at 5. We need to see more pressure created up front as well in terms of those collapsing pockets. But I think that the secondary needs to step up in a big way, make some plays on the football. But I look at Pitt right now, and that is a potential galvanizing force, and they're going to have opportunities in this game. You watch that Marshall game where Virginia Tech played, a lot of prone balls put in bad areas. Drones is a guy that I think has a lot of talent to work with, but he makes some decisions where you can make plays on the football. You'll have opportunities. I think Pitt will have opportunities. It's just going to be, can he capitalize on?
The Panthers have also not forced a fumble this year. They've basically had two recovered by Bam Brema, and I think both of them were against West Virginia, going for no yards, basically just unforced errors from the Mountaineers. What do you want to see from Pitt in this Virginia Tech game? What's your prediction? What do you think happens? Do the Panthers start to climb their way back to 500 and move to 2-3?
Yeah, I thought there were some promising signs offensively. I thought the offensive line started to find themselves a little bit, and I think some of the young guys will grow. I think you look at a guy like Bear and Taylor and Moore and those young guys that are getting kind of thrown into the fire. I think they'll get better as the season moves on. So I think that'll be good. I also think that that Pitt just stylistically matches up fine with this team, particularly as long as the offense can score a little bit. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, but I think they will. Very bad rushing defense. I think Hammond, this should probably be Rodney Hammond's first game where he really goes off, right? 100 yards plus is what I would expect, multiple touchdowns. You should expect it. Don't expect like a high-scoring game, but something like 24-10 Pitt I think is about right to me. I don't think you're going to see a ton of offense from either side, but I think Pitt, this is the type of game where Pitt can like dominate the time of possession, yep, run the ball really well, win the field position battle, and kind of chip away with some points. And so I expect that to be the plan, and I expect that's what's going to happen. If it doesn't happen and Pitt ends up, you know, kind of losing this game, I think there's a lot to worry about.
24-17 is what I have. The Panthers winning it, move to 2-3. Really start to just get some positivity into this program right now. No more Boo City after this week. I mean, there might be some Boo City coming up later on against Louisville or whatever else that you might want to future. You might want to progress into the future. But now I think Pitt starts to find itself into this game, starts to have a little bit more of an identity, run the football, feed Rodney Hammond, whoever the quarterback is. It's probably going to be Dracovic. At least that's my guess. Just protect him, make him feel comfortable, which is hard to say about a quarterback in college that's older than me, but just try to just depend on the run game as much as you can. You should be able to run on a team that's giving up 200 yards per game. Nick, appreciate your time, man, and wish you the best of luck. Are you going to Houston this week?
I am, so I will be down in Houston for Steelers-Texans, so that'll be fun.
Let's go.
First time ever in Houston. I've never been to the state of Texas outside of El Paso, of course, with the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, that'll be fun, man. Enjoy it. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Always, thanks for having me on.
Here on Panthers Pathway as Pitt prepares for Virginia Tech, 2-1-3 teams will do battle. 8 p.m. primetime kickoff. Catch us talking Panthers everywhere you can find us on the Pitt Talk Sports Network.